From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farm and Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, January 24th. Well, this morning we are spending some time on and off the ice. First, we're going to head to Lake Huntington, New York to join some ice fishers before sitting down with John Van Etten. He's the president of the Sullivan County Conservation Club, and he shares some important ice fishing safety tips and his favorite stories on the ice.
My personal best ever fishing through the ice, I caught 77 fish in 1 hour.
Plus, Radio Catskill's Ronald Kelson hits the slopes at Holiday Mountain in Bridgeville. We'll also share the latest on this weekend's winter storm watch, all of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report. But first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. A powerful winter storm is expected to dump snow and ice from Texas to Maine this weekend, followed by a week of frigid temperatures. Susan Phillips from member station WHYY reports the nation's largest grid operator expects record-breaking electricity usage.
PJM Interconnection manages the electric grid that serves about 67 million people living in 13 Midwestern and Mid-Atlantic states. During this cold snap, the grid operator expects peak demand to exceed an unprecedented 130,000 megawatts for 7 days in a row. Tuesday is expected to set a new daily record when temperatures in some parts of the country could dip into the single digits. PJM says it has enough power reserves to last throughout the week, but heavy snow and ice could damage overhead wires and cause local outages. For NPR News, I'm Susan Phillips in Philadelphia.
President Trump this week said an armada of U.S. warships is headed toward Iran, though he hopes not to use it. So far, the U.S. has leaned on smaller, targeted missions, like the recent raid to seize Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports that signals a shift from large-scale ground wars to more surgical use of force.
It can seem like a contradiction because at the same time as the Pentagon is pushing out this message of, let's say, mess around and find out and lethality, Trump and many of the people in his administration have talked about kind of an America first isolationism. But what's consistent is what Tom's saying is there's this aversion to any boots on the ground or any responsibility, sense of owning it just because you broke it, to turn around the old Pottery Barn rule.
That's NPR's Quill Lawrence reporting. Russia carried out a series of air attacks on Ukraine overnight, knocking out power for an estimated 1.2 million buildings in sub-freezing temperatures. The ongoing assault on Ukraine's energy grid comes as negotiations to end the war continue. NPR's Charles Maines reports from Moscow.
The trilateral talks in the United Arab Emirates have been stuck on Russian demands for Ukrainian territory. The Kremlin has ruled out any peace deal without Ukraine's surrender of the entire eastern Donbas region, that despite Moscow's forces failing to seize the territory in nearly 4 years of fighting. Ukraine rejects ceding land it sees as essential to its defenses, or at least without ironclad security guarantees from the West to guard against future Russian attacks. Both Ukraine and the Trump administration say they've made progress on that front in recent weeks, yet details remain unclear, as is whether Russia would accept any U.S.-backed protections for its neighbor. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Forecasters say the heaviest snowfall from the looming winter storm is now most likely across south-central New York and into northeast Pennsylvania and the Catskills, though some adjustments to the storm track remain possible. A winter storm warning is in effect from 1 a.m. Sunday morning through 7 p.m. Monday, with periods of very heavy snowfall Sunday into Sunday night. Weather experts are advising people to expect treacherous travel conditions. Here's Alex Mara from Hudson Valley Weather.
Once the snow does start, it covers roadways quickly. As the evening progresses, the combination of dangerously low temperatures and limited visibility and heavier snow bands will make travel treacherous or impossible across parts of the region.
Dan Hoost from Sullivan County Government says the county is prepared.
We are going to be monitoring this the whole weekend, and we want to be there for people when they need us. We are going to have almost 60 plow trucks out on 22 different routes. They will be operating 24/7. Our first responders will still be trying to get around and do everything that they can to help people through this storm before, during, and after. But for most of us, it's just going to sort of be riding it out. And unless you absolutely have to be out on the roads, right, I would recommend you do not.
For the latest road conditions from the state you're calling from, dial 511. Stay with Radio Catskill for the latest on the winter storm. On air, online, on your smartphone, and your smart speaker.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Thanks for being here with me this morning. Well, by now, I am sure that everyone has heard, but in case you haven't, there is a winter storm warning in our listening area. It remains in effect from late Saturday night through Monday evening. Heavy snow with significant accumulation between 12 to 18 inches is expected, and heavy snow and cold weather conditions could make travel extremely difficult to impossible, so please plan accordingly. So this morning, we are kicking things off on the ice. We're going to hear from Sullivan County Conservation Club in just a few. They're the folks who organize the county's annual King of the Ice tournament happening next month. But first, we're getting on the literal ice. A few weeks ago, I was driving to the office when I saw a group of ice fishers on Lake Huntington along Route 52. And I immediately jumped out of my car to talk to them. I think it was really just serendipitous timing. And I met Sullivan County resident Mike Feliciano. He has been fishing for many, many years. He essentially oriented me to where we were and gave me a lay of the land from an ice fisher's perspective.
Right now we're in Lake Huntington, New York. We've been on the ice for probably about 2-3 hours. Okay. Ice is beautiful. It's about 5 to 6 inches thick. We've only caught one smallmouth bass so far, just on a tip up. Jigging's not so good today right now. Other than that, the weather conditions are nice. It was nice and sunny this morning. Clouds are starting to come in. It's supposed to rain a little bit later, but we're all shacked up. We got the shanty, nice toasty propane heater. Just got done eating some brats. It's beautiful out here.
Around this time, he and two friends had already set up a few ice tip-ups to dangle bait for fish to take. That's, of course, after they drilled several holes through the ice. Feliciano says ice fishing is a way to keep up the passion of fishing all year round.
Ice fishing is just kind of to keeping up the passion of fishing in the long run. It's a lot of work for a little reward, but you get a good group of guys out here on the ice. Just a good time to catch up, be out here on the ice, like I said. My preference is obviously spring and fall out on the water. A lot less work, a lot warmer, but it's nice to be out here. Like I said, just catch up. It's more so just like the camaraderie of fishing and just being out on the ice. It's a different experience, so I highly recommend it at least a couple times in your life.
And yes, I did get on the ice.
Yep, yep.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So how long have you been fishing?
I've been fishing my whole life. Wow. I can remember being 8 years old, my mom taking me out on the lake, just sitting there with a bobber sitting next to her. As I've gotten older, obviously, I've gotten more in depth with bass fishing. I prefer bass fishing and walleye fishing. But, you know, a lot of people come out here for crappie, walleye, and perch. Those are good fish to eat and cook up out on the ice. It's nice, flaky, white meat, especially when it's cold. It's nice and flaky, doesn't fall apart too much.
Oh, my goodness. And you said that you guys caught one fish already today.
Yes, ma'am. We caught a smallmouth bass earlier. It's a little small largemouth bass. But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I did not think I was going to be doing this Friday.
Right? That's the thing, you know.
That's the fun thing.
Sometimes you just call your friends up, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Sometimes you call out of work.
And what time did you say that you got here this morning?
We got here at 9 o'clock this morning.
And how long do you think you're going to be out here for?
Probably a couple more hours. What time is it now? It's 12, almost 12:30. We'll probably be out here till 3, 3:30.
Wow. Anything else you want to add about just what about this brings you so much joy?
Just fishing in general, being with a good group of friends, you know, it's all ages, male, female, doesn't matter what you are. I think it's just a good thing to get out on the ice, be with a good group of people, just memories. It's a good time, especially when you're an hour and a half without catching anything and then you see that little flag go up and then everyone's trying to shuffle to the flag to get the fish on.
Gotcha.
Definitely makes good memories to be out here.
Thanks again to Mike and his friends for letting me join on the ice. And don't fret if you're listening to that and are itching for more ice fishing stories. You are in luck. King of the Ice, Sullivan County's premier ice fishing contest, returns on February 15th. Trout and pickerel are just some of the prize-winning fish categories that anglers can enter during this beloved local sporting event. Joining me in the studio now is John Van Etten. He's the president of the Sullivan County Conservation Club, the organization that presents the county's annual ice fishing contest. John, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Of course. I'm so happy that you're here. Well, okay, so let's talk a little bit about King of the Ice, right?
Okay.
It's this tournament that's been going on in the county for more than
Several decades.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me a little bit about what it typically looks like for someone who might have not gone before.
We get a pretty good turnout for it. It's usually 250 to 350 people. I think our record back in the day was well over 500 to 600.
Wow.
There's reasons why it's a little bit less today. I think people get outdoors less, and that's unfortunate because I think people need to get outdoors, especially in the wintertime. It's something fun that you can go outside and get outdoors and do, get a little fresh air, catch a few fish, and have a good time.
And I know that you are an ice fisher yourself.
Yes, I am.
Tell me a little bit more about how, you know, fell into this beloved sport.
I started fishing through the ice when I was 14 years old. My best friend's father was a very, very dedicated fisherman. He was actually the president, oddly enough, of the Sullivan County Conservation Club.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. And he got his son and I into doing it. And it's an amazing experience. We used to do all the hard work, of course. We used to have to go out and drill all the holes, carry around a big heavy ice auger and stuff like that. Nowadays, we've got a little bit more modern equipment. Things are a little lighter. We have better ways to get out on the ice. So it's a much nicer experience. But we always had a great time. My personal best ever fishing through the ice, I caught 77 fish in 1 hour.
How
we
is
used
that
to
even
have
possible?
Contests between the three of us. If you get in the right spot on a lake where there's a school of fish, you have to keep moving around a little bit, I find, to find a school. But when you get in the right spot, you can literally hook fish almost as fast as you can get them out of the water. The slow part of the process is rebaiting the hook, putting another grub on and dropping it back down in.
I'm just like imagining the exhilaration that went into catching.
That's literally over a fish a minute. And we were jigging through the ice for panfish. We were catching yellow perch and we got a real nice school of them. but we were setting two hooks about a foot apart, putting grubs on each hook, and we would actually pull doubles out.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the hard part is taking the fish off and then rebaiting, putting new grubs on, getting the line back in the water.
John, it's clear that you have a lot of love and passion for for ice fishing and the outdoors. I know you're president of the Sullivan County Conservation Club. Tell me a little bit more about the organization.
It was originally part of the Isaac Walton League, founded in 1927. We have a long history in Sullivan County. In fact, I could tell you a real quick story if it's okay.
Yeah, please.
Back in the 1930s, there was a gentleman that came to one of the meetings in the Monticello Courthouse where they used to meet. His name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was president of the United States. And he attended our meeting and recited the Conservation Pledge along with the members at that time. I've been active in the club since 1981, and I was the secretary for, I think, about a dozen years. And then I became the president, which is the position I hold today.
Tell me a little bit about what ice safety looks like.
Okay. That's a very, very important topic we should cover. It's very important that people go out and test the ice before they get out on it and keep testing it as you go. Make sure there's a minimum of 4 inches of good, hard, clear ice. It's just not safe to go out without it. You definitely should carry certain types of gear with you. One thing I would recommend in case you do get in a soft spot and you go through the ice is to have a pair of ice picks. We always tell people to put eye hooks in the end of the two ice picks, run a cord around, tie them together, run them through the sleeves of your jacket. That way they're right near your hands. You can let them dangle while you're dealing with the fish and fishing and drilling holes in the ice.
Right.
But have them there so that they don't get away from you and you can find them. They're right near your hands. That's to help pull you up on the ice, because once you go through, it's very, very hard to get up out. So you need to carry ice picks with you. Definitely have a personal flotation device on while you're out there. If you have heavy boots and things like that, it'll help you sink really fast. So you need a personal flotation device. You should wear it for sure. Have extra dry clothes in your car when you go, things like that. Make sure you have the ability to get warm.
I think those are such important safety tips because what we see at eye level is those several inches of ice, but then there's still freezing water underneath.
Yes. It's very, very cold. And if someone else goes through the ice and you're with that person, you need to be aware. Sometimes we panic when things like that. It's human nature. We all do that. It comes down a little bit to training, but think outside the box. Realize that if you have jumper cables in your car, you can split them in half, tie them together, and end up with a cord long enough to reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, grab a tree branch, whatever's laying around, so that you can help that person get out of the water. And as soon as they're out of the water, get them safe and get them dry. I've only gone through the ice twice in my life. It's an amazingly unpleasant experience. Neither time was I fishing, by the way. I was ice skating both times.
Oh, wow.
And I never went in. I was on a little pond here on Kempfer Lane in Liberty, and I went in waist deep. The other time I was over on Briscoe Pond, over past White Sulphur Springs. And it was very, very unpleasant till I got warm.
So. I think those are some good tips. Be resourceful with what you have and stay calm. Tell me a little bit about what the scoring and some of the rules are to the tournament.
Okay. We use a scoring method that's we've used ever since the contest was created, back when Tom Jasuda started it. We add the length of the fish in inches to the weight of the fish in ounces. We've found over the years that that works the best for us. Not everyone agrees with our scoring method, because a long, thin fish will score less than a short, very fat fish and whatnot. So, but we found it's the best way to mediate that and come up with a fair score. to everyone.
John, anything else that you want to share that maybe we haven't already talked about, maybe about the tournament or ice fishing in general?
Just that ice fishing is a whole lot of fun, depending on your luck, of course. That's all part of fishing. But it's just so nice to get outside in the middle of the winter when there aren't that many activities for people to do, the weather's bad, things like that. You can come out and fish and get some fresh air, get out of the house and stretch your legs a little bit. And it's just so much fun.
That's beautiful. We've been chatting with John Van Etten of the Sullivan County Conservation Club. King of the Ice returns to White Lake on February 15th. You can find more information on SullivanCountyConservationClub.org. John, thank you again so much for chatting today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Up next, you know what time it is. This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. The nearly full moon in Jupiter will be within 5 degrees of each other on Friday night. The duo will be in the eastern sky at sunset and in the western sky after midnight. Jupiter will start the night on the lower right side of the moon. By midnight, Jupiter will be almost directly below the moon. It will remain below the moon for the rest of the night, setting around 6 a.m. The full moon will be on Sunday, but the moon will still be 97% illuminated on Friday. The moon will look very much full, and it will take a very keen eye to notice that the moon is not full on Friday. Only the tiniest portion of the upper left side of the moon will be in shadows. Due to Jupiter's proximity to the very bright moon, it will not be as bright as it normally would be. The moon's light washes out the sky around the moon, making stars and planets appear dimmer or even not seen at all. Under normal conditions, it is possible to see the four Galilean moons of Jupiter via binoculars. However, the moon will make the sky too bright around Jupiter to see the Galilean moons through binoculars tonight. Though we refer to light coming from the moon as moonlight, it is actually sunlight reflecting off the moon. The same is true for the light coming from Jupiter and every other body in the solar system. It is reflected sunlight. Let the moon be your guide to Jupiter on Friday night. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks so much to Keith for that report. Well, as I mentioned, our listening area is about to get hit with some major anticipated snow this weekend. And I think there's no better way to enjoy the snow than to spend it outdoors, whether that's snowboarding or skiing for you. Farm and Country producer Ronald Kelson recently headed to Holiday Mountain in Bridgeville for a ski trip and brings us the sounds from the ski hill.
Skiing has been a part of my family since before I was born. My mother and her siblings were all born in Monticello and learned to ski right here at Holiday Mountain. It's become more than a hobby, especially for my aunt and uncle, who were ski instructors at the Adaptive Ski Foundation at Wyndham Resort, which helps folks with disabilities participate in winter sports. They were there for a number of years. Because of all this history, it's only right that I learned how to ski too. I also learned to ski at Holiday Mountain, and it really became the only sport or physical hobby or whatever you want to call it that I kept up with, especially after I quit the town of Mamikating Little League at 11 years old. It was a regular hobby during the winter, but I ended up losing track of skiing too. High school got really busy and, of course, the pandemic hit, so until a few weeks ago, I hadn't skied in almost 7 years. But after a few warm-up days and barring any more worldwide pandemics, I'm really excited to have skiing back in my life again. So join me and my mom as we spend the day skiing at Holiday Mountain. The day starts at 9 a.m. driving along the Neversink River on Holiday Mountain Road, with snow falling and the roads dangerous to drive on, past what will be more ski trails and snow tubing, and pulling into the parking lot of Holiday Mountain in Bridgeville, New York. Surprisingly, the most physically demanding part of skiing at Holiday Mountain, for me, is walking up the hill from the parking lot to the ski lodge. It's a pretty big hill, and dating back to when I was first learning how to ski, I'm out of breath every single time. So after that, we drop off the skis and poles outside, pick up the lift ticket, and go inside to the lodge and get ready. I buckle my boots, put on my helmet, and head out to the hill. I get my boots into the ski binding, and now I'm ready to get to the top of the hill. After a few warm-up runs, it's time to take a run down the Roman Candle, the most famous trail here at Holiday Mountain. It's classified as a black diamond, which means it is a difficult trail, but it doesn't scare me too much.
All right, we are about to reach the top of the hill, about to lift the safety bar so we can get off, and since we've got so much snow over the past few hours, there's a lot more powder on the hill, which makes it harder to turn and bigger chance for you to trip, but you just got to change the way you ski, and it's just as fun. So I will see you at the bottom. Snow on the hill. So much powder. Thanks for joining me for a run down the Roman Candle.
After some lunch and a few more runs, it's about 1 o'clock, and in order to take advantage of the now plowed roads, Mom and I leave to go home and relax. So we hope you had some fun joining me on a ski day and hearing the ambient sounds of Holiday Mountain. Holiday Mountain, it really is such a hidden gem with a long and great history, and I encourage you to try out skiing, try out snowboarding. It's a great way to stay active during the winter, as well as being really right in our neck of the woods. In Bridgeville, I'm Ronald Kelson for Radio Catskill.
Thanks so much to Ronald for braving the cold and for that report. Before we sign off, again, just one more reminder for the weekend. There is a winter storm warning in our listening area. It remains in effect from late Saturday night through Monday evening. Heavy snow with significant accumulation between 12 to 18 inches is expected. And heavy snow and cold weather conditions often makes travel extremely difficult to impossible. So please plan accordingly. That's all for this week's show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Catskill Character. You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. Morgan-Outdoors.com.
It's It's award season, so next time on the Buckaloo of Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, we'll hear tracks from all the contenders for the 2025 Folk